It is time to cover the news. It is time to welcome in the Lakeville Journal and the Middle Studio. We have Cynthia Hausmeister. Good morning, Cynthia. And why can't I hear Cynthia this morning? Because I have the wrong button pushed. There you go.
There she is. I know she's been in there because
I had pushed the iPad button. Sorry about that.
She's been such a good guest for so long.
Thank you.
Let's welcome in Janet Mangle. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
All right. It's nice to have you both on this chilly morning.
Yeah.
Icy, nice, frosty. You know, if it's going to be this cold, at least it's incredibly beautiful out there.
It still doesn't make
up for it. She said sitting in the warmer.
I
noticed you were early. You didn't stay outside observing it, did you?
Yeah, you didn't see me stopping. I kept driving up by all these spots and going, that's an Instagram moment, but I am not getting out of my car.
Exactly.
All right. Well, speaking about that, we can go right to the front page of the Lakeville Journal because it was a week late and it was chilly, but look at those pictures. The kids were having fun.
We're just packed full of this incredible set of photos from Alexander Wilburn, from Sharon Audubon, who once again brought us stunning photos of young children out doing what they do best in New England, which is playing outside. And we have the story inside, but three great photos on the front page. And as you said, the original plan was to have it October 29th. It's traditionally a pre-Halloween event at the Audubon Center. This year it was raining on the 29th.
Rain and windy.
Really bad.
And was looking bad for the 5th too, but they stuck with it. And the rain, in fact, waited till the early evening that day.
All right, so that fits in with the cold weather that we have here.
I kept thinking it wasn't going to come. Was I wrong to think that? Was I?
Well, no. I think I think we were all just getting used to these warm blasts.
Yeah, I kept thinking it's going to start in January, like it has.
But it always makes it it makes it worse because right now it's not really that bad, but it feels bad because we've had such nice warm weather.
Yes,
we had a nice autumn.
We did.
Very beautiful. Yeah.
Cynthia, you have a big story and something that we talked about, and that is sober house regulations failing on the first try in North Canaan.
Right, and I want to say this is actually a week late, and and congratulations to Charlie Perotti on being elected first selectman in North Canaan, and with a promise to sort of be better at sharing information about what's happening in North Canaan. So I missed this meeting, I'm sorry to say, but thanks to Vimeo and Marshall Miles and CATV6, I was able to watch it. Very interesting meeting. It's an issue that's been brewing, I'd say, for most of this year. Greg Naylor, who was the resident state trooper, the state police trooper assigned to North Canaan, had come to the town officials and said, you know, there's all these people buying up properties and just throwing up a little bit of wallboard and dividing rooms into very small spaces and then renting them out at very high prices to people who are coming out of some of the recovery facilities here. And they're supposed to be sober houses, but they're not really supervised. There's not really any support for these people. And they're often a fire hazard. And the state police and the volunteer fire and ambulance had issues where they felt like, we need to really look into this. So nowhere in the state of Connecticut is there regulation for these sober houses, which are technically called boarding houses. So the town had tried to come up with an ordinance to figure out a way to control them, regulate them, and make them safer. Judy Dixon, who's the town attorney, presented a 22-page ordinance, and I've seen Judy come up with really complex ordinances in about six sentences. And my sense from watching this movie was that she was really trying to caution the town that there were a lot of unexpected issues that were going to grow out of this kind of an ordinance. So it's not resolved yet. People had all sorts of different reasons for wanting to have the ordinance in place, but also for not feeling comfortable with this ordinance yet. But they've put together a committee to study it, and as of last week, they already had nine people, which is a lot. So this is going to be something that really everybody in the state, I would say, is going to be watching how they put this together.
Yeah, and it's obvious that Judy did exactly that, that it was a meeting that they were told, this is something that's going to, you really have to delve into.
Yeah.
You just can't work on it quickly.
This is not easy.
Yeah, not easy at all. All right, after that, we will go over, by the way, you mentioned the election. Your election results are online.
They're online, thanks to Janet and all of our lovely town clerks and registrars who got us information throughout yesterday evening. And
Cynthia works really hard on this because we have even more towns now, and we're glad to have everything up online. If anybody sees anything they think isn't quite right, let us know. But we're pretty sure we checked with Secretary of State and the town clerk, so we're pretty confident we've got it together.
You know, it's amazing. I have to, you know, I did the election live for us from my home.
Right.
And I, by I thought I'd have to stay up really late, but by 11 o'clock, not only did we have, I have correct results, which are all preliminary till they're approved by the Secretary of State,
right,
or whatever, from all the towns here, but also in adjoining eastern New York State where we cover.
Right.
They finally put together a system where it really worked, where the municipalities went. So it was all done by 11 o'clock, which was terrific.
Which is great.
And I want to give a shout-out to our Secretary of the State here in Connecticut, Denise Merrill, who's done an unbelievable job of pulling together a really useful website. And that, I would say, even as recently as last year, I wouldn't say that all the town clerks were 100% on board with it, but this year it just seemed like that was what everybody was doing, is just immediately sending those results so that all of us could see them online.
All right. I want to move over to a story that Shaw did on the front page, autistic kids and helping find their way in the world.
Yeah, and, you know, who knows why there are more and more kids on the autistic spectrum. It may be that they're just more functional and we see more of them, or, you know, and I say this as a parent of a child on the spectrum. A very interesting growth of children on the spectrum, from super highly functional to more impaired. And this was an interesting program in Winsted that was not so much about, you know, here's what autism is, and, you know, which I think often ends up being, you know, the people that come to that are people, you know, who have kids who are on the spectrum. This was really an opportunity for people in the community to meet kids who are on the spectrum and look at their various levels of success. And many of them, the way that Shaw describes them, really lovely, interesting kids who have had a lot of struggle, but many of whom have managed to go on and have independent lives and jobs. So it's really actually a lovely story.
And we have since high school, and after they got out of the program at the high school, have maintained 2 days a week somebody on the spectrum who just does a marvelous job.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I think more people, like anything else, I think there's better diagnosis and better understanding of kids when they have this, when they're younger nowadays. That's why we hear about it and see it more.
But also better care for them,
yeah,
so that
absolutely.
Kids are able to really have a great life and, you know, see that they have incredible skills, many of them, that are just quirky.
All right. Nice story here on the Smithfield Church celebrating 275 years.
This is quite a big deal over for all of us here in this area. But Caitlin Lyle did a nice story where she interviewed Pastor Douglas Grand George and also went to their celebration on October 29th. And I want to say it coincided with the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And when you think about it, 500 years seems like it's so long ago. And yet here's this little church in Amenia that's more than half the age of that. It's 275 years old. That's really old. And it's incredible. So the church is celebrating its history, talking about its roots in this story, which are very interesting. I highly recommend you read it and go visit.
All right. And let's put this to bed.
I felt so badly this morning that I hadn't picked the last of my lettuce and my arugula. That day is past, I think, although sometimes they do defrost nicely, but we're putting our gardens to bed. I took all my fencing down last weekend. I'm very happy to have done it. And now we look forward to spring.
All right. On the inside, now this is how to stay safe during the 2017 hunting season.
You've probably heard the popping out in the woods. It is the season now. If you're going to go out walking, and I would say even until yesterday, it was pretty nice weather for hiking if you're into that kind of thing. And people really need to remember when they're going out, do check the DEEP website and also the New York State website and find out when the hunting seasons are in the area. But I would say at this time of year, you definitely want to be wearing some orange when you go out there in the woods.
No doubt about it. All right. Art, Pies, and More.
So we were talking about this last week, I think, which is the wonderfully named Night of 1,000 Pies to support Kent Affordable Housing. It was such a great event for so many years. And Patsy Strobel from the famous Kent Bakery, who lives here in Sharon, used to always do a pie workshop. And then the state kind of stepped in and said, you know, you really can't sell those pies unless they're made in these, you know, certain conditions for certain types of pies. So it really limited the number of kinds of pies that could be made and donated by the public. So they, this year, because they're always thinking, they did a maker fair as well and had people, you know, doing arts and crafts and artisan work. And what a great thing to have for the holiday season. And a very successful, outstandingly successful, apparently, fundraiser for Kent Affordable Housing.
All right. Veterans Day, you've got the Kent Observation in Salisbury here.
Yeah, we haven't actually heard from other towns. I'm sure that everybody is doing celebrations. We did hear, you know, Salisbury has the ceremony at the school and at the Veterans Memorial. Kent has three different ceremonies coming up. They've got a fundraiser ongoing at the IGA. They've got a school program coming up, and they've got the program, of course, November 11th at 11 a.m. is when most towns will be celebrating this at their memorials.
All right, we're going to go on to – this really shocked me. I always thought the Gilson Cafe owned the building that they were in.
Yeah, so it's a guy called Alan Nero who owns what really is one of the landmark businesses in the center of Winsett. And maybe you know the answer to this. I don't know why Danny Kaye premiered his movie, I think it's called The Diners Club, The Man from the Diners Club, why that had its world premiere in Winsett at that theater. But how cool is that? They opened in 1926. They had their first talkie in 1929. The theater is up for sale, and we hope that maybe somebody will buy it who will continue to run it as a theater. But, you know, it's tough looking at the Colonial, and, you know, of course you have experience with that theater. There are some beautiful old theaters. It'd be nice to see them preserved, and we'll hope something good will happen in that space.
All right. Now you have here in Salisbury, Thanksgiving is a deadline date.
This is all the stuff happening. If you've ever been a contractor, if you've ever renovated your house, people always know that everybody says optimistically at the beginning of the year, oh, we'd like to have our house done by Thanksgiving. So the same is true in our town. So we have all these projects that are going to be, we hope, done by Thanksgiving. But, you know, a deadline is a rolling thing.
All right. You've got a story on the Region 1 board getting an honor. Right and insightful. This came from CABE.
Mm-hmm. They did a program called the Lighthouse, and we've been hearing about it for 2 years. In fact, I think it was the Lighthouse training that led to that big kerfuffle last year where the board put together a movie that was shown to the teachers on the first day of school. So, but they did get an honor for that, and that's great. And I think we're moving into a very interesting period on the Region 1 Board of Education following yesterday's election. They've got some very strongly opinioned people who are joining it, very independent, and we'll look forward to an interesting year ahead.
Absolutely. Great picture. Housatonic Valley Regional High School, first year they're honoring people that have graduated and gone on to do some fantastic things.
Yeah, some wonderful people. Dot Cecinato, who is still a member of the North Canyon Board of Ed. Ed Kirby, who's a member of everything, does everything, incredible guy. All of these people, so interesting. And a really wonderful idea from Housatonic Valley Regional High School, which is to say we're not just going to honor our great athletes. Let's just honor all these people that have done amazing things, of whom there are many.
All right. A breakfast program, maybe in Kent?
Yeah, this is, as having come from an urban background, a lot of kids don't get breakfast at home, and it's not just a financial thing. It's often that some kids just don't want to eat in the morning. Some parents are just really busy getting out of the door. The morning is a very chaotic time in many households. So Kent Center School talking about doing a breakfast program. Some of our schools, of course, don't even have lunchrooms here because they're too small, but it'd be interesting to see what happens with this breakfast plan and whether other schools follow that lead.
All right. As we switch the page, we already talked about the kids and then the Halloween at Sharon Audubon, but a nice story by Bruce Paddock on the Prentice Barn.
Tim Prentice, one of the many really extraordinary people. And unlike movie stars or musicians who live here that you've heard of, many people don't know who Tim is. But if you've lived here for a while, you have definitely seen a building he's done or some sculpture he's done and said, wow, that is so cool. He's amazing. He is in many ways a stylistic sort of heir to the work of Alexander Calder, who is also a Litchfield County resident, and the very excellent Northwest Connecticut Arts Council, which is led by Amy Wynn of Falls Village, has chosen to honor him with their Culture Max Award. And Bruce, who is a very funny, understated guy, had a wonderful conversation with Tim, who's a very funny, understated guy. And it's just a great portrait of a very interesting man.
I've got a good story also on the Sharon Historical Society Have a Seat exhibit.
Chairs are so important to all of us. Who knew? And I don't think we all think about it. And the Sharon Historical Society has done a great show of paintings by local artists and historical chairs in their collection.
All right. I love the picture of the exchange
stairs. He's so tall, isn't he?
I was going to say, he's so tall. And it's a great picture. But I like when the students go before the Board of Education and talk a little bit, almost compare their education from where they're from to where we do.
And almost universally say, yeah, it's more fun here. Yeah. So Housatonic Valley Regional High School, here in the middle of nowhere, a tiny little school in the middle of the country, and we always get a lot of exchange students. And this year there are four of them, two from Thailand for some reason. Max Klomp, who is in the photo, who's very tall. And if you've been reading the sports page, you know he's a soccer star. And another student who actually couldn't be in that photo because she was off at a soccer game.
All right. You've got a story about the history of Jews in Afghanistan on this page as well.
Yeah, a very interesting talk that was done at the synagogue in Armenia, and it was by a woman who was recently named one of the leading young Jewish thinkers in America, and a very interesting book she's done on the Jews in Afghanistan, of whom there used to be many, and now she says there's only one. But a very interesting cultural study that started with the study of her own parents and became a much bigger picture of the Middle East.
And very quickly on the obituary page, two people that had an impact in Sharon, of course, Joseph Kane, Jody Kane, passed away. But Bill Wilbur, who served the town of Sharon
in some capacity
or another from 1952, I think, until 1974 or 73. Amazing.
Right. And, of course, had the famous pheasant farm,
yep,
which we all remember from – when was that snowstorm? Gosh, was it?
That's when
10 years ago.
10 years ago, when all the netting came down, and Bobby had to get people to help him out.
It wasn't 10; it was less than that.
It was like it was
2011.
Yes, and it was the year of the Halloween snow, and all of the pheasants got loose and were wandering around the
centers. And there were pheasants
everywhere.
Yeah. All right, the Cannonball Run.
And I made the mistake of taking my dog one year to the Cannonball Run, and they lighted off the cannon, and boy, did she hide under the seat of that car fast. So this year they didn't really get a big blast out of the Cannonball Run, but very unusual, actually. The top two finishers, usually the first finishers tend to be men, and then the first woman tends to come in a little later, usually around 9 or 10, 9th or 10th. But this year, for the Cannonball Run, the top finisher was a man, the second finisher was a woman, so congratulations to both of them.
All right, I want to go on to the opinion page. One casualty of the state budget fight, Janet.
Right. this is an important issue that I don't know if everybody is aware of, is the fact that we have...
We had
for 18 years at the service of our state, a cable news network, CTN, that did video of all three branches of government, as well as some really pertinent, relevant civic events that people could watch. And they even did some of their own production of programs, and really an excellent station for keeping up with what's happening in the state. And lost more than half its funding as of now. As of when I wrote this, it was half. Now it's more than half its funding. And the operator of it, CPAN, decided that was it. After 18 years, they weren't going to be able to continue. Another issue was that the legislature was pushing to have greater editorial oversight of what showed up on that channel. So between those two things, CTN is now up in the air as far as what will happen. The legislature has taken it over, but this is a great loss, and this is something we should all be very aware of, because as we've seen, freedom of information laws change over the past number of years to less transparency. This is really a step in that direction.
It's shocking, and you include CATV6 in there, and we appreciate that, because people don't realize how important it is until something's not there. And the state mandate for local access television was never that people that started the local access television go out and film it. The state mandate was you have the facilities there and the equipment there, and people from different communities go out
volunteer
and film.
That's
but
right.
But it's very, very important. You know, we get calls if a meeting is not covered, and we have to tell people, well, we only have three or four volunteers, and we pay actually somebody to go out in two of those locations, and Mike, and there's only so much we can do. It is an important part, and I hope CTN can come back. I really do. I hope the legislature smartens up, stays out of it, and gives them the money they need to operate.
Right. Maybe this will wake them up, as you say. And we do mention what CATV6 does, because I think too often people in this area take it for granted, as you say. People call and say, well, why weren't you there? Why aren't you everywhere?
Yeah, that is an assumption. And frequently we have to say, you know, when you do see people out there, in many cases it's because we paid them to go out there.
Exactly. And you really have to pick and choose. And you even go to events that are really interesting, and church services, everything you guys can think of to do. It really is a wonderful way to get out there for people what is happening in our communities, and it should not be taken for granted, and keep watch on it, and let your legislators know if you would like to see CTN survive and have editorial independence.
And I love the Steiner cartoon. That's all I'll say. I love it. It's just, you look at it and you get the message. All right, we only have about 3.5 minutes left, as a matter of fact. Lots of great articles and also some good letters as well.
Yes, we do have letters that, you know, we have one letter on that same church in Armenia that is on the front page. We sort of operate in our own bubbles. I do the opinion pages, Cynthia does news, so I had no idea that was happening too, as Jim Flaherty was writing to us about his church. And, you know, we had this letter before the church shooting in Texas, and he was just stricken by it and couldn't decide whether he should go forward with the letter. And finally, after some discussion, we decided, you know, maybe this week more than ever, it's needed to make some positive comments about going to church and, you know, finding comfort there. So don't miss that letter. And we have a really interesting column from Varagin Frongian, who is an American with an accent. And so don't miss that. It really enlightens us as to how it feels to be somebody who comes from another country and is recognizable as such living here.
All right. Cynthia, you have 1.5 minutes, 90 seconds.
We have plenty of time. So we have a wonderful Compass, Bruce Paddock. We're lucky to have him writing for us, although he's left our company to take a new job. We miss him, but he's writing great stories. He reviewed Thor Ragnarok. Bruce is a huge fan of the comic book culture and gives a really great review where he kind of says, well, I didn't completely love this thing about it, and yet I love this movie. So find out why. Leanne Graham reviews a show of work by David Dunlop about New York City, paintings on metal at the White Gallery, which he likes and recommends. Fred Baumgarten making a compelling case for why you should listen to some music that maybe makes you uncomfortable to hear it, and talking about a performance that he heard, and compares it to taking a bracing swim in the lake in spring. And C.B. Wismar writing about Goodbye Christopher Robin, the new movie. You know, I kind of sometimes just like to read a book and not think about how it was written or how it came to be. But this is a great movie, apparently. He describes in great detail, explaining how the Winnie the Pooh books came about. And that's our newspaper for this week.
All right. At tricornernews.com, newsstands, home delivery. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Have a good week.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. And once again, tricornernews.com is the location on the web.